The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Yeah, here I am. Thank you, producer Noah in Arizona. Hey, guys. How are you today, Noah, by the way?
I'm good. I've gotten some messages that people are singing this song all day long.
I love that. I heard that as well. We've received some listener emails that I was going through last night, and I really appreciated people writing in and saying how much they enjoyed the episodes. And yeah, I mean, like it's a lot of emails to go through, and so I don't know if I will go through them all, but we all have the password and account, so we can all read them. And some people send in ideas for us. Love, love, love. And no criticism that I saw, you know, which so far I've avoided any criticism about the show, which is my favorite thing to do. I wanted to also say, just not only thank you, as we're rounding out the week here, it's Thursday, between you and me, I have had a great first week. I'm almost sad that I don't get to do the show tomorrow and the next day, which is a great sign for a new job, you know, that you don't want the weekend to come, for a first week on the job. People have seemed to just accepted the podcast into their hearts already, and they're just, the enthusiasm is just, I feel it too, you guys. So thank you so much. And to those of you who are apathetic and are just like, it's just a fucking podcast, thank you as well. Because it is just a fucking podcast, you know? But it's really fun for me, and I'm enjoying all of it. And I want to say thank you to iHeart Radio and Big Money Players, who is the podcast network we are on that is headed by Will Ferrell, which afforded me the chance to have a kind of interaction with him through a press release. Right, Noah? Like I wrote a quote that being a part of Will Ferrell's company and being asked to be a part of Big Money Players was like finally getting a seat at the cool table in middle school in the cafeteria, except this time I didn't have to smoke cigarettes or, buy $500 worth of clothing from Delia's or something like that. Which was just Andrew saw that and goes, I don't know what Delia's is. And I go, you don't have to know what it is. I go, but the fact that you don't know what it is, when you read that, don't you just realize like, oh, that's a reference that some people get and I don't get. You don't think I'm stupid for because I sometimes question that when I make a reference that I know only 30% of the population will get, I expect the other 70% of the population to just assume that's a joke they don't understand because it's a reference. Not that I am making, that I don't make sense. You know what I mean? No, do you know what I mean? Because sometimes Andrew goes, I don't know what that is. And I go, but don't you just assume you're out, like you should know, and maybe you could Google it and it would be funny to you that this is a joke you're not in on yet, as opposed to she just said a word that isn't a word because I only know the world from my perspective and don't consider that other people could know things I don't know.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time because I'm really bad with
culture.
Like deep references and pop culture.
Yeah.
And it's up to me to go look it up.
So Delia's, he goes, is that Chris D'Elia? I'm like, why would I in middle school be accepted to a table if I smoked cigarettes and asked my mom to buy me $500 worth of clothes from Chris D'Elia? Why would that make sense? Why would, you know, like that's not where you go with that joke. Anyway, so that's the statement I made. And then Will Ferrell had to also make a quote for our press release because I'm part of his network. And it referenced that line. Do you have, Noah, could you read it to me?
I have it.
I read it once and I couldn't read it again because there are times when I meet celebrities or have an interaction with a celebrity, I don't want to see it again. I just want to like know that it happened. And like, cause if I analyze it, I'll poke holes in it. And I just want to live in an experience of the fact that I know that Will Ferrell was making a joke off of the joke I made. And it felt like I was doing comedy with him. So please read it.
Okay. We are thrilled to have the wildly talented Nikki Glaser join us at the Big Money Players Network. But in order to do so, she will have to smoke cigarettes and purchase her wardrobe from Delia's spring collection.
Oh my God. I love it so much. First of all, I totally did not read wildly talented when I read that so fast. Cause I just read it so fast. Cause I was like, cause I know what, you know, this about me as someone who has made, you made me a birthday video the first year that we were friends. You got
oh
people.
God.
So this is, And I almost brought this up last week in the worst gift, but I didn't want to make you sad because it's not a worst gift. It's just an interesting example of something that I think I would like and I don't like because people do this for me all the time. You're not the only one. And it is the greatest gift you can give someone. I think one of the best birthday gifts that doesn't cost any money, if you have any, you can learn editing skills to make this happen, is to reach out to all of their friends and have them say a birthday message and then put it together in a video. I think that's such a great idea. And I just love it. I love it even for myself, but when it is extended, when it is extended to celebrities who I don't have a personal relationship with, and they are just asked that, like, you know, they're asked politely, like, could you make a birthday shout out for Nikki Glaser? And they maybe have a vague understanding of who I am, or maybe they do know who I am and you don't have to explain it. But the fact that they had to be inconvenienced in any way to acknowledge my existence when they didn't want to do it on their own volition. And I know so many celebrities are nice and just do things out of, like, they're just like bad at saying no. And I'm just projecting because I used to be bad at saying no to things I don't want to do. Now I'm very good at it. Short story, that's a tangent, and I'll get back to this. Last night, the wardrobe woman that I work with on set, she's like this just lovely, motherly, ethereal, perfect human being that I'm so grateful to, like, be able to have around me while I'm here, because you can work with some real turds when you just get put randomly with people. She's so great. And I don't have laundry at the hotel. I don't have a washing machine in this place. And so she offers to do my laundry, which is not part of her job. This is my, like, normal clothes. And she washes, tenderly folds my underwear, like, you know, like I would send out for laundry in New York. And last night she goes, I was leaving set and she goes, will you put your laundry outside your door? I want to do it for you. And I go, please don't. Like, this was 12 o'clock at night. I'm like, this is unnecessary, Julie. She's like, I like doing laundry. And I was like, okay, I believe you. And then she came to get my laundry as I'm putting it out. And I go, I'm sorry, it's so much. This is, like, too much. Do you want help carrying it back? She goes, I don't ask to do things that I don't want to do. And I go, thank you for saying that. Because she's like, you have to stop being like, I'm sorry, and you don't have to do this. If I didn't want to do it, I wouldn't do it. And I was like, Julie, I'm that same way as well. And I'm so glad that there's someone else out there who has the same kind of boundaries. Well, where if even if you love me, you can tell me no. I'm not going to love you less if you tell me no. And she understands that. Like, she looks out for herself before she looks out for people who she wants to like her, essentially. So for me, I think of celebrities as being inconvenienced, and then that they don't want to do. I mean, I even have problems asking celebrities to be on these shows where they get press, let alone a birthday video. So when someone has to, so when you gave me a video for my birthday, you had Seth Rogen and Glenn Howerton and
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky, I didn't mind as much because Ricky, why didn't I mind him as much? Because I know Ricky, and I feel like Ricky enjoyed that in a way. Like, I feel like Ricky had fun with it. Whereas the others, I was like, and Ricky's just like, so, I don't know why Ricky didn't bother me as much. But the other ones I was like, oh no, Seth Rogen's pretty like, oh, I'll do, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Maybe Glenn Howerton loves you.
I know there was just something that was like, oh no, they think that I like asked for this or like hinted at wanting this, or this was somehow. And then my when assistant I set it did up, it this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Except that when I set it up, I said, this is going to be a surprise. She doesn't know that I'm doing this. And I'm like almost a little nervous.
You assured me you told that to those people. And then my assistant this year, my past assistant, who we just separate ways because I don't need an assistant right now. She's great. Grace Ann. She gave me a birthday video this year and did the same thing. And I think I blacked out when I watched it because I think I cried because I was so upset about the people she got to do it. I was like, so like, and seeing all my friends and family, like my sister learned a TikTok dance for it. I loved that. Like, those are my family. Aww. Like, yeah, I put them in a video, my friends, but like celebrities, even though it was so awesome that she did it and organized this and anyone else would love it. It, for me, it was my worst nightmare. But I got over it because my mom goes, Nikki, the fact that you're crying right now is so ridiculous. I was like, but I didn't want these people probably were like, who is she then? They're like, Google me and they don't even like me. And Conan did one. And my mom goes, Conan wouldn't do this if he didn't want to. And I was like, I don't believe that about Conan. Like, I think Conan might do things out of obligation. I don't trust people not to just do, like Paris Hilton even admitted recently, she says yes to things when she doesn't really want to do them. So I told her, now that I know you do that, I can't ask you to do things because I'll always think that you're just doing it because you feel obligated. I will say though, that in speaking of gifts that I don't like, I did say on our first episode that I hate flowers. I hate receiving flowers. Like, I think it's a waste of people's money. It's good to support the flower industry, and I'm glad that those people are making so much money, and like the markup on flowers is ridiculous. But later that day, I received a call from the front desk of the hotel that the executives at Big Money Players had come together to send me flowers, and I got a beautiful arrangement of birds of paradise. Because I'm in the Cayman Islands. They also sent Andrew a bushel, which he was so excited about, like a masculine flower arrangement. Wow. That he's never received flowers. So that was great to have. I felt so bad because I go, how ironic that the day they hadn't heard the first episode when they sent that either. It wasn't like, haha. First of all, I loved this arrangement because the card was sweet and the flowers are like bird of paradise. They're not dying yet, but I do want to say that I appreciate this so much, and I don't need they don't have edible arrangements on this island probably. So you couldn't have done better than this, but in the future, a Starbucks gift card will suffice for the amount that you would spend on some flowers. But I'm just kidding. It was so nice to receive. The card was so heartfelt. That's what I love about flowers, is that card moment where you go, who is this from? And the anticipation, and like, and so thank you so much for the flowers. They obviously didn't go through my agents, because my agents have noticed that if anyone wants to send me flowers, that they say she would much prefer a gift card to these places in the amount of that money. Because I know that companies have money to spend to send gifts like this, like it's part of their budget. Why not spend it on something that I'm going to use? But the birds of paradise are killing it in this tropical land, and it actually really livens up this place. And you know, I don't lie, so I am telling the truth. I love this birds of paradise that I received. And Andrew was really touched by his bouquet as well. So thank you so much to Big Money Players. Thank you to Will Ferrell for acknowledging my existence. And let's bring the big boy in. I don't know why I'm calling him a big boy. He went to the gym already today. I already did a podcast. You guys have to check out when I'm on KFC Radio. I just did a podcast with them, which they are so fun. If you don't already listen, it's Kevin Clancy and John Feidelberg, and they are hilarious and honest. Just like, if you like my vibe, you'll love them. It's more of a bro-y vibe because it's like Barstool Sports, but they're not douches. They're really like emotional. Like John Feidelberg is like the biggest Swiftie, and that's why I love him. But I confronted the host Kevin, because we were talking about relationships, why I don't have one, why I'm not in one, why I'm not having sex. And I go, you know, it's not just me. I'm not picky. I like put myself out there and I get rejected, or I just, a guy drops off, or I feel a spark and then it's just not there. It's not like everyone like looks at me like, oh my God, anyone would die to be with you. And I'm like, well, I put it out there and I get rejected. Like, I'm not crazy, but maybe I am. So I go, okay, Kevin, I actually had a crush on you. What happened there? I followed up. I texted you. And I go, what happened there? So tune into that. I don't know when it's going to come out, but probably pretty soon. KFC Radio. Subscribe now so you don't miss my episode when it comes out. Because I just confronted it because I was like, this is actually interesting. And I do want an answer. And it's much easier for me to confront difficult things when they're on air than when I'm it's my fear of emotional intimacy. But Noah, you're going to have to hear it. You'll love it.
No, I can't wait, because I was there for when you had the crush on him.
Yeah.
So I need the continuation to this story.
Yeah, because I had him into a radio show when we were on Sirius initially because he reached out to me, I think. And then I did his podcast and I was just like, this guy is like throughout his show, I was just like, oh, he's kind of cute. And like we had a good like meeting, but I was like, oh, he is really cute. My God, he's really smart. He's like, he likes the same kind of sex stuff that I do. Like I was like, well, this is a no-brainer. And then it quickly was like, and so my question was, am I bad at flirting? Like, what's going on? I was so great to get an opportunity to hear from someone who had kind of, I felt, rejected me, and what he sensed on his end. So it was, I had to follow up though. So stick through the whole episode, because we get back to it at the end. I go, I don't feel like I got an answer. It was pretty good. So I don't want to ruin it and tell you what happened, but go listen to that and you'll find out. And let's get Andrew in here and talk about how he slept and get some headlines.
Hey
Hey, Andrew Collin, my roommate and best friend. How'd you sleep last night?
I slept good. I love coming in here like I do because I feel like a relief pitcher in baseball when they're like, bring them in. And yes. I come in like, but they know what's going on with the game. I have no You want to keep me in the dark?
See, I didn't know what you were meaning by that reference. I was just like, I started tuning out.
Why? Because of baseball?
Relief pitcher. I just like, that's like too, that's too much jargon for me that I don't understand. I know it's not jargon. It's like a very easily understandable thing. But okay, so you mean the game is going on and you're coming late to the party?
Yeah. And I just like, at least the pitcher knows what the score is. I come in, I don't know what the hell you just talked about. You might have just said I had a small penis for 10 minutes.
So you were listening.
Again?
And it was 12 minutes. A minute for every quarter inch.
Okay. I slept good. We got the vaccine the first episode of the vaccine.
You understand what he means. Go on. Yes. So we got the vaccine yesterday.
And you could say it's in my mind, whatever. My shoulder was hurt.
Oh, the baby.
It hit my shoulder.
So you slept, your shoulder was a little achy-bakey?
Thanks for the empathy.
Like, literally, it's like the ache of a bruise. Like, that's what you're feeling. And you're like, you couldn't sleep because of a bruise? Like, what do you do when you get a bruise?
I'm just saying, I sleep on my side. So you can still, when you're sleeping, sometimes things creep up a little bit stronger because...
You're a sensitive boy. Boys are so sensitive, Noah. I think women, I'm sorry, men out there who are like, no, I can take pain. And I believe a lot of you can because you were, you know, put through pain probably as a child that steeled you and made you stronger now. But women in general can tolerate pain so much more than men. And maybe that's just me being a woman and wanting that to be the case, but it just feels that way. Noah, do you agree?
Yeah.
Like when boys are sick with the same thing that you're sick with, it's always so much more of a dramatic production, at least with the men in my life.
That's right. I think it's because we have to start with like waxing and stuff early in life. So pain is
waxing
nothing.
Is one of the most painful things that is like so dumb that we do for ourselves. And also being hungover, I think, is another pain we inflict on ourselves unnecessarily. But I think women, it's childbirth. I think we're just like we're born ready to have that kind of excruciating.
I don't know. I've taken some pretty big shits with hemorrhoids.
No, and I know you've had fissures too, anal fissures that were like the most painful things ever.
An anal fissure, shout out to
all. How did you experience that if you can't handle a little bruisey bruise on your arm?
I'm just saying, you asked how I slept.
And you were like, I had a bruise on my arm. Like that just would not be of note to anyone else. Like, I just don't understand.
You asked me how I slept last night. I was answering honestly. I woke up a couple times because I rolled over on my left side and it hurt a little bit.
I just don't understand how you're going to age because all aging equals your body hurting and aching all the time. Like,
yes,
you're just going to wake up.
Is always aching. I can't lift. I can't do curls because a muscle underneath a muscle is hurting. I don't know. I'm falling apart, Nikki.
I didn't want to make you go into a spiral here. I'm just like... Anal fissures, though, you've been through.
Anal fissures are worse than... I can't even explain the feeling. It feels like 14,000 wasps are stinging my asshole at the same time.
Jesus.
They, like, made a plan. They're like, hey, let's meet in Andrew's asshole around 7 a.m. to have a sting fest.
Mm-hmm.
And you cry. I cried. I would shit, sting and then I would fest. Look in the mirror, and essentially I would have to bite down on a... freaking
Why would you
wood
look in the
stick.
Mirror?
I don't know. I think like...
Why did you add that to it? I was with you with the pain of like, you were like, because I picture you on the toilet, the wasps are meeting for the sting off and they have to... by the way, if that thousands of wasps met at 7 a.m., they'd have to take turns. They can't all like sting at the same time. I feel like they'd be in line.
Yeah, they weren't... it was
they'd
five
They'd be in a queue outside of your asshole. Okay. Five at a time.
Five at a time. 14,000.
One for each inch.
Yeah. What's the worst pain you've ever felt consistently?
No, but I'm getting back.
Oh,
don't skip over the mirror thing. Why are you looking in the mirror and biting a stick?
Because I'm hot while I'm in pain.
Were you looking in the mirror like, like kind of watching yourself cry? Is that what I'm...
Well, I was just like, I don't know. Sometimes you look in the mirror for a lot of reasons. I think back in the day when I was playing football, you'd look in the mirror to get pumped up. You go, come on, don't be a fucking pussy. You got this. Be a fucking man. Be the best you can be.
Oh,
don't
so
let your
to
dad
coach
down.
Yourself through the pain.
Yeah, so I would look in the mirror. I go, don't be a pussy. Your asshole feels like it's getting stung by wasps.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay. Because I'm trying to... When I think of the worst pain I've ever felt, I mean migraines, well, without a doubt.
Okay. Yeah,
a migraine in the worst of a migraine is like where you truly consider, I mean, I've done awful damage to myself trying to just cause another pain that isn't that. Like I create a new pain so that that pain, not as much focus can be on that pain. Because what pain is what you're focusing on, really, like, is like what you're feeling. So if you confuse your body, you can actually not feel that pain as hard and feel it somewhere else and disperse it, that so it's not right on this point right behind your eye. Now it's over on this side of your head too, so it radiates. And that's the worst pain. It's like I just crying and puking because you're in so much pain and like just honestly wanting to die and thinking that if this doesn't go away, I'll have to kill myself because I can't live like this.
When did you first start getting migraines?
When I got an IUD. And I didn't even make the connection. I just kept the IUD in. And then I eventually got it removed because I just wanted to. I IUD'd. And they yanked it out.
You underdosed?
And then they stopped.
Oh, but now you're getting them again.
No, now I get what I feel is like the amount that I used to get before is nothing. Like I've have one in once in a while because they're hormonal. They're related to whatever hormone was pumping through my bloodstream when I had that IUD. Progesterone possibly. So when I around my period, I will get a headache that will be close but not as severe as
this. Then I'll get one from all your yelling.
I don't yell. I just kind of get really quiet and want to just cry, weep quietly in a dark room.
Is that a John Mayer song?
Just weeping quietly in a dark room.
What?
You were the one that had a headache. I was the one that didn't want to bother you. There's nothing that I could do. We tried to put your feet in the sink and put a bag of peas on your head. We tried all these different remedies. I even told you if I fucked you, maybe it'd go away. I heard that orgasms will sometimes make migraines go away. And so I convinced you to fuck me on your migraine. You're going down. And I forgot that you going down on me doesn't cause an orgasm. So my whole plan is kind of blown apart right now. You're going down. Okay. So let's get to...
That was a beautiful song.
Thank you. Let's get to the news or whatever you deem is the news today.
We got good stories coming up, folks.
I can't wait.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
My favorite part.
I know it is. You love your own voice.
No, it's the
you do. Listen to yourself. You listen to your podcast. Last night, though, I did listen to us on Puddles, and I was having a ball watching our Puddles that I lived two nights ago. I don't know why I needed to watch our conversation again, but it was captivating, and I looked so pretty.
You do.
I really killed my makeup, and I was proud of myself. Sometimes you just look at yourself and you go, you look great. And I just needed to, I was watching myself and like having love for myself. I was like, you're so pretty and you're so nice and sincere. Like I saw myself, like I loved myself. And it was like such a nice, I just let that moment sink in instead of watching it being like, oh, why'd you do that? The whole time I was like, that's so sweet. That's a cute thing you said. Oh, you tried to make a joke there. It didn't really land. Like it was just,
Also sitting next to me in that Tommy Bahama. So you're going to look great.
I literally realized at 40 minutes through, I had not even looked at you once. I was just captivated.
We don't look at each other that much when we talk.
We don't look at each other?
No.
I didn't look at you when I was watching.
Eye to eye, ready?
No, when I was watching it. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
How's it feel to look deep in them?
I'm not looking that deep.
In my baby greens.
I'm blurring my face right now because I don't want to actually make...
Why? Look at me.
No, stop it.
Take me in. Just take me in.
What?
Why are you feeling weird about it?
Take me in. Eye contact, prolonged eye contact for me is romantic, and I don't want to do that with you.
Why?
Because
but don't make it romantic though.
But it's to me, prolonged eye contact is romantic. That's what it means. So I don't do it with people that I don't have that vibe with. It feels weird. It feels like incest.
Okay. Well, you ready for the first story?
Yeah.
All right. I hope you're having a great time out there, guys.
God, he always wishes you a great time before he begins. That's his little, that's your.
It's my way to get them on my side if we get in an argument. Yep. Uh-huh. All right. I hope you're having a great time. All right. Handwriting your notes had more advantages than inputting them digitally. I picked this story because I know you've been writing way more with handwriting these days.
Yeah. I write notes down but I don't go back and look at those as much as the notes in my phone, because the notes in my phone are always in my phone next to me. And notebooks, I have a hard time keeping track of. Sometimes I'll write like really emotional journal entries that are just like stream consciousness, like stuff that if you read, I would be devastated if you read. And then I'll hand you that notebook to be like, hey, Andrew, will you write this list that I'm thinking of? So like, I'm too willy-nilly with notebooks and I can't trust myself, but I love a notebook and writing with a Sharpie.
Would you rather a guy find a pussy picture of you that's like
pussy picture then my ramblings in a notebook that I'm talking about my feelings?
No, like an up close like and your face is in it.
Great. Yes, I mean, like, that's fine. I like my vagina. It looks great.
Don't tell me what you wrote in your journal, but what makes you like, what, like, let's give like a generalization of
like it'll be like, I hate my, like, I woke up today and I felt fat and I don't know why that is, because I'm not any different than I am. Yes, there's no chance that yesterday I'm that different than I am. Yesterday I didn't feel fat, yet today I feel fat. There's no way I gained enough weight from one day based on what I ate to make me feel fat. So I know that this isn't what I am. So what else is going on? And then I'll be like, I'm really scared about this thing later tonight. I just talk about my feelings. Like, I just try. I can't even access it, because stuff comes out when you write it, stream of consciousness, when you're writing really messy and fast, that it's just like embarrassing, but it's so on point. Like, I read some old journals of mine recently from like years ago where I would just write, you know, I journal sporadically. So like a month I'll do like three days in a row, and then I'll skip a year and then go back, you know? So I read some stuff from 4 years ago and it was spot on about all the changes I've implemented in my life. I was begging for help back then with them. It's just nice to see that the things I'm addressing now were actually problems back then that I didn't even know I had, but were just coming out in journal entries, but I wasn't aware. Like, but it was all there. Well, it's like, I need to start skipping meals. Like, skipping meals is ruining my life. I was like saying it and begging for help, but then it took me 4 years to learn, well, maybe don't skip meals then. Like,
what's up, Noah?
Well, based off that study, which was done in Tokyo, you were probably like, handwriting stuff increases your brain activity. So maybe you were able to figure that stuff out because you were writing it down as opposed to storing it digitally.
I always wanted to convince myself that handwriting wasn't better than typing. Like, you can type journals, which it's still good, but there's something about handwriting that actually does something different than typing.
Well, it says it triggers your robust brain activity, and in writing by hand is associated with stronger neural encoding and memory retrieval.
Cool. Yeah, I gotta write more.
Which are all
more
big words.
Yeah, robust words.
I never write in journals, and I think I should, or write down at all. Sometimes I forget. I remember I went to write down. I forgot how to write, mm-hmm. which is wild. But I used to write in journals in middle school. I had to. And I remember my parents went through the divorce, and like, my journal entries used to be like perfectly legible and like thought out.
Yeah.
And then my parents started fighting, and you would just see, it would like, I would maybe sometimes I'd have to fill out two pages. So I would write the same sentence over and over again, just be like, fuck
too.
The system.
Yeah.
And it'd be like crooked, and like the handwriting became,
oh my God,
like it looked like an anarchist was writing.
But looking upon that later, I mean, you had no perspective on that when you were doing it. But then in retrospect, you're like, wow, this said so much about my mental state, and you were writing the same sentence over and over, but you still found out things about yourself.
I would write like nice journal, and then like 3 months into my parents' divorce, it was just like, Jonathan, I don't want to say his name, whatever, this guy,
yeah,
is a fat motherfucker on the bus.
Yeah,
fuck him. He always
all
takes
of a sudden
my
the anger
seat,
like, went. You just got angry overnight.
Yeah,
it's all due to
But you know, I wouldn't be here if you know that journal.
Probably. be somewhere better.
Yeah, I'd probably like
people would go, yeah, my dysfunction led me to where I am. Yeah. It's like, where, what could you have done though? Like, you haven't even considered that. But there's no free will. So the whatever the way you are, you had no choice, and you have no choice where you go next. Yeah, listen to Sam Harris's new podcast on Making Sense called My Last Thoughts on Free Will, and you will understand why we have no free will. And if I'm blowing your mind right now, you're like, what do you mean no free will? Yeah, you don't have a choice about anything you do or anything you think. And I know you're like, there's no way, Nikki, that's blowing my mind. I used to think that too. Go listen to Making Sense podcast, My Thoughts on Free Will. And by the way, Sam Harris's podcast, which I love and I recommend all the time, Game Changer segment, you can get it for free if you just write into it. He has a paywall, but you can get it for free if you just can't afford it. And you just write to the Sam Harris info at samharris.org and just say, I can't afford the podcast. They'll give you a code and you get to have the whole podcast. And but you can get the first 40 minutes for free regardless. Anyway, that I really recommend anyone listen to my final thoughts on free will, the Making Sense podcast. It was two episodes ago. So go on, Andrew. What's the
I mean,
the
that
next?
Was a great plug for
I couldn't
him.
Help. I couldn't help it. I do
you find
plug him
hot. That's why.
What?
You find him a little sexy.
Oh, yeah. Sam Harris is so sexy. I'm not going to deny that. But that's why not why just... I like him. He's sexy because I just admire him so much. And I don't listen
I like
to many podcasts. And
I like
that one really has changed my life and my perspective.
Next
and he
story.
Talks about stuff like journaling. Okay.
Nikki wants to blow Sam Harris. What?
Oh, stop that.
Well, that is weird.
No, don't say that. I want him on this podcast
on
someday. Yeah, that is not one of the news stories. That's my journal. God damn it, Andrew.
Don't leave it out. You wrote the Wi-Fi password in it. All right. Sarah,
wait, what, Noah?
Oh.
No. Andrew, I think Andrew has a good story.
Okay, let's hear it.
Sarah Gilbert, who you know.
Mm. I know Sarah
Roseanne.
Gilbert. Yeah, I created a show for her production company.
Blushes
Tom and Sarah.
While telling Drew Barrymore that she was her first girl kiss on the set of 1991's Poison Ivy.
I loved this. I saw this last night.
Have you seen
so
this
Sarah
movie?
Gilbert is
Do you
a
remember
lesbian.
This movie?
No. But Sarah Gilbert is a lesbian, and I just love the idea of, like, yeah, she had been on Roseanne and probably kissed boys on that show because she was a straight character on that show. But for her to have she had her first girl kiss, right? Same-sex
yeah.
kiss. Was on screen. I love those stories.
Well, they
when
practiced in the trailer beforehand.
They did?
Pretty hot.
No way, yeah. Really?
But how old were they then, I wonder,
Oh,
too.
My God, this is so hot. I mean, probably like 16 or 17. That I'm just looking at a still from it. It's got to be somewhere in there, like early adolescence.
Can I just tell you that if you're probably anywhere between 35 and a 45-year-old man, Poison Ivy was
a
like
seminal.
It was a movie that and a movie called Blown Away with Nicole Eckhart.
Okay.
Those are two movies that if you're around that age, you definitely masturbated around 11 p.m. at
so
Showtime.
So you masturbated to Darlene's First Kiss?
Yeah. Darlene is like the least sexy name, by the way, on
yep.
earth.
Oh, well, God.
But yeah, no, but if you were around that age, those movies, and what's the one where they made out in the pool?
Wild Things.
Wild Things.
Yeah,
so yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah, I mean, your first kiss was a girl.
Yeah, my first kiss was many girls. Like, I didn't kiss a boy until my first kiss was Kirsten because I thought I was going to have my first kiss with a boy and I wanted to practice. And she was like, I was worried I wasn't going to be good. And later that night, I thought I was going to kiss Doug Reese. And I was nervous. And she goes, I'll kiss you and tell you if you're good or not. And so we made out. And then,
tongue?
And then I didn't end up, yeah, I didn't end up kissing Doug that night. But then I got drunk for the first time and I wanted to kiss boys so bad, but I was scared of boys. And all my girlfriends were like just drunk too. So we just all started making out. And it wasn't like sexy though. We were just like laughing, you know, but it was still, yeah, I made out with a lot of girls before, but I haven't done it since. And like not even close to
well,
doing
you
it.
You did kiss your friend, just a quick peck.
Kirsten again.
And
yeah.
I have been writing in my journal. So
no, I would, for me, I love these stories of these first kisses on set or like on camera, like these child stars who had to have their first kisses, like Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, their first kiss. Ashton was her first kiss. And now he's her husband. It's so sweet.
That is kind of sweet. Your yeah. first kiss, not so much your husband.
No, my first kiss with a boy, not the best experience.
My first kiss, fourth grade, kissed a sixth grader.
Damn.
And I was on the bus, and we were in the back of the bus. Everyone was watching. It was like an event.
Yeah.
And because I was so small.
It was the big event.
And she was like the hottest sixth grader. Like, yes. She was fucking dope. And I fucking went in. I didn't turn my head, and I drilled noses.
Oh my God.
And it was so embarrassing. Everyone was laughing at me. Like, he didn't turn his head. What a fucking dumb.
You just, oh, so like instead of tilting your head to like make out and make room for both noses, you just like went
nose to nose. Oh my God. And I mean, it's the story of my sex life ever since then. I mean, that started it. It started me down a horrible.
Where you get to like, and you do pretty good. Like, I feel like you, I've seen you with women and like you tend to get the sixth grade, the hottest sixth grade girl, like over and over.
No matter how old I get.
Yeah, they always stay in sixth grade. But like that the girls you that slide into your DMs and the girls that you I've seen you get close to getting are like you're still it's of that caliber of like you're the fourth grade guy who's like the underdog, but like for some reason they really like you and they're like the hot girl in sixth grade.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll be
that's you, man.
I love an underdog. I love being the underdog. Yeah. Keep me under there, dog. You know?
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Well, okay. You're not going to be on top anytime soon.
Chrissy Teigen quit Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Because of negativity and leaves behind 13 million followers.
I mean, she'll be back, right? You can recover that stuff. Noah, do you think you can recover? I don't know the laws, but that seems like a rash decision. And I think she did it over the fact that people were giving her shit for selling something.
With Kris Jenner.
Yeah, Kris Jenner. She partnered with Kris Jenner to promote something, and people were so furious about it that she couldn't deal with the trolls anymore and just was like, I'm gone.
So weird how people turn on you, or like how bad, like.
I think it's a great, it's an interesting beginning to like, it got me thinking last night, like, what if people start dropping off the social media? What if we go back to not having access to people's daily life and like what they're doing all the time? Like, what if we get, what if people start like, what if those things go away? Like, how cool would that be?
But I just
would kind of love it.
You can go away when you're on top. Like, she has,
I don't want
probably
to see people's Twitter or Instagram. It ruins people for me.
Oh, yes. Like, if you have a crush and then you see someone.
It's not even like a crush. They're like friends, too, like where you like get to know someone in life and then you see their social media and you just are like, oh, God, you're like not as cool as I want you to be.
Or
like,
you're trying to be too cool. And
there's
you don't
just like too much. There's too much room for error. And I put myself into that category, too. There are times that I put out things that I'm sure guys have been like, ugh. Or like girlfriends of mine have been like, Nikki, this isn't a good look. And it just, it's just a vulnerable space where you sometimes can put out something and make a rash decision and tweet something or, you know, put something on your story. That's just an ugly side of you that is so easy to come out because you have this outlet that usually in real life you would have there's a barrier between you and that knee-jerk reaction to put that out there for your friends to see that side of you. But it's all it is now is a pull up your story, post a picture, click a button, and then it's out there for the next 24 hours.
I just feel like Chrissy Teigen, if she has, you know, she's married to John Legend, she's made a shit ton of money on her own. They probably have $100 million. Like, she doesn't need to be called a dumb cunt every day. Like, she just doesn't need that. Now, some people still need it because they're still building their money.
Like, people don't reach 13. No, if you haven't noticed, no one's ever rich enough. No one just gets rich and then stops. None of these people all have enough money to live so well for themselves well into the future until the end of the world in like about 8 years.
How successful would you have to be to get off social media completely?
I mean, I would have to be really like, social media for me fills a hole of like not feeling like I'm having enough fun. Like, it's fun for me. I still get this enjoyment out of it. So I'd have to have a fulfilling life otherwise. It'd have to not be about money. It'd have to be about like, I'm around people that I'm constantly stimulated by and having, it is giving me that much stimulation, because that's what this stuff is. It's just constantly like new things popping up. And it's like, if I'm in a relationship, if I fill my life with enough of those things, which is almost impossible to do.
It's like speed date. Like, social media is like speed dating in real life. That's like the only thing equivalent to it.
It kind of makes you realize why people don't get in committed relationships, because in every other aspect of your life, you can get whatever you want, whatever food you want, whatever entertainment you want. Instantly, there is no more committing to literally anything. The biggest commitment I have ever made is this podcast, I realized the other day. I've never had a contract over a year for anything in my life.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not a relationship is ever contract, like, until you say, oh, I'm going to get married. That's obviously, you know, being like forever. But I'm scared of commitment, I realize. But this podcast, I'm not scared.
Yeah.
I was a little bit like starting. I was like, wait a second. This is my life for, that's so long. Like even when I buy a 500 pack of Q-tips, I'm like, this is a little, you're committing to like living long enough to use these. That's kind of insane.
Yeah.
Like I'm not joking you. That seems like a joke, but it's not. When I buy that many Q-tips, I just go, what? What
you're
are you
not going to live this long.
Yeah. I just like, I'm not going to get through all those. Like that's a waste.
It's interesting. Cause like my whole life, I've always like, you know, where I went to college, whatever I've done with my, I've never thought it through. You know, yeah. Even this podcast, I didn't really think it through, but out of most things, I was like, I did think before I moved to St. Louis to do this, I did at least kind of give it a little bit of thought.
You and don't it's have the like goal, long-term goals?
My long-term goal, I guess.
I didn't ask you what they were. I just asked, do you have them?
Yeah.
So what's the next news story?
I'll tell you.
Oh, you know what our next one is? Here's a goal of yours realized. Once a week, we're going to have a segment here on the show where Andrew gets to do a little bit of his favorite genre of news, sports news. So here's Andrew's weekly sports moment. I love it. Okay, get me into sports.
All right, a 15 seed during March Madness, for the second time ever, has made the Sweet 16. A team called Oral Roberts, which was also my ex-girlfriend's nickname in college.
Nice.
I thought of that one in the shower.
My God. I bet you got so giddy and go, and you giggled to yourself while you were in the shower when you thought of it. Did you? I bet you did. Yeah, I know you too well. I know you too well.
I was holding the shampoo as a mic.
Oh, I guarantee you were.
This year, Sweet 16. Okay, let's just get into
Will you tell
March
me what
Madness.
15 seed means, please? I understand that's a terminology that I should know, but I don't know it.
So each bracket, there's four different brackets, 1 through 16.
Got it.
A 15 beat a 2, which is just unheard of.
Right.
And then they beat a 7, which is just crazy. So, like, okay, so...
They're in, out of 16 places you could be, they're in 15th place. 15th. They're, like, in the group of colleges that are like the fifth in 15th.
Yes, they've made the top 64 teams, but they're in the bottom of the 64.
Got it. So a 15 seed out of 16 seeds. So a bottom, not a good team. One of the in the 90%, or probably in the 90% worst of the bats that are playing for March Madness, beat someone in the top 2 or 5%.
This will give you an idea 10%. Of it. So ESPN does a thing where they Oral let people Roberts. Fill out a bracket. 14 million, around like 14 million brackets were filled out. Not one has had all them. The right teams right now. Well, no, some might have had them.
Right.
But doesn't have any.
So it's our, and that's never.
I mean, how beautiful that is in sports. I mean, that is pretty cool because it's like.
What's going on here? What did they attribute it to? Do they have like a star player? Are there injuries on the teams they've played?
Good questions. My thought is, okay, also what's crazy about this March Madness is Duke, which you've heard of, obviously, North Carolina, Kansas, and Kentucky are not in March Madness, which is...
Wait, KU?
Yeah,
what?
Wild.
What?
Yeah, you went
My
there.
Alma mater? KU, who, like, the only thing that they care about is... They didn't make this The 64?
No, Oral Roberts did, my ex-girlfriend from college.
Wait a second. They didn't even make it in the 64 teams?
Yeah.
But KU is a... and Duke, they are...
Yeah,
what's going on?
So I think
is it because of COVID?
Yeah, they all got COVID.
No, but...
No. That's actually a good question. They might have not have practiced as much. And if you can't practice as much... Okay, so what Duke, North Carolina, it's called one and done. So a lot of these kids, they'll go to college for 1 year, just their freshman year, and go to the pros. So then you're getting new kids
every
and you got to refill it, and they got to be so good that they could beat juniors and seniors, which have been practicing together for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
So now you're having, Duke and those guys having one.
When was the last time Duke, KU, and North Carolina were not in the March Madness?
It could have all of them together. I mean,
I mean, even individually, like, do those schools sometimes go in and out? I mean, I just feel like they're always in the at least when you're making a bracket, like the eight, like the bottom eight. I don't know.
It's wild. The viewership would go down.
Uh-huh.
But it's actually, it's doing well.
Well, now it's going to be great because of this Oral Roberts. And this is a dentistry school?
Yes.
I'm serious. No, like, what? Where is it? Where's Oral?
No, I don't know. I think it's somewhere down below, if you know what I mean.
Where is it?
No, I don't know. I really don't know.
I can't believe this is your news segment and you have such little information.
I just gave so much knowledge.
But you don't know where Oral Roberts is?
I can't believe how much you know about sports, Nikki. This is blowing my mind.
Well, I went to KU, so I do know that March Madness. I'm very familiar, and I do enjoy March Madness and like, you know, making bracket. I love a good bracket. I love a good Taylor Swift song bracket. And and in my song bracket, I will say that there was an Oral Roberts for me, which was a song that not many people like. Which song do I love that people don't? Oh, 15 for me. A lot of girls that also love Taylor Swift were like, wow, 15 beat out Style. And for me, Style is a UNC, and I don't give a Style has been my Oral Roberts for all along. And so 15 ended up winning my bracket, and it was like Oral Roberts taking home the final, you know, the March Madness trophy.
I
got to go back on something. Okay. Kansas still is in the tournament. Okay, guys. Kansas did reach the top 64. Well, we had a recount.
Yeah, we had.
They actually beat the Eastern Washington Eagles 93-84 in their most recent game.
God damn it.
I really just hijacked your news segment. Okay, is there anything you want to add?
I'm just sad that I ruined my shot at the sports thing, the Kansas thing, but they're out of it, I believe. But okay. You can figure it out.
Thanks.
But other than that,
I mean, I feel like I had more information in this segment. I really just based off of you Googling and not being able to read fast enough, and I can read your screen. Well, we got to move on, Andrew.
Okay, God.
But you'll have a chance next week to redeem yourself and really come in with a lot of sports knowledge. And next week, can I challenge you as a coach? I want to challenge you. You look in the mirror and you talk to yourself before you give that sports segment, and you deliver it in a way that will educate me so I don't have to have too many follow-up questions, and also in a way that will interest me and also fulfill sports fans who might be listening's desires for sports news.
Yeah, Kansas is still in it.
All right. So our next segment is going to be one that we will obviously ask for submissions from our listeners. This is a little thing we like to call the blankest thing you've ever done. And every month we're going to just pick a new blank, and we're going to present ours, and then we're going to ask for submissions from you guys to send in your blankest thing. And you're going to try to top ours, and we'll read it on the show. And if you can top the blankest thing we've done, we'll crown a winner at the end of the month, and we'll switch it up every month or so. So for this month, and we'll do this once a week, my blank for this month, it's going to be the grossest thing you've ever done. So this is the grossest thing you've ever done. We're going to present ours now, and then we will ask you to submit your own. If you think they can beat ours out, we're going to do a March Madness of grossest things you've ever done. Every month, the category will change. This month, the grossest thing you've ever done. And you can send those submissions to the Nikki Glaser Podcast at gmail.com. The Nikki Glaser Podcast at gmail.com. Andrew, do you want to kick us off? The grossest thing you've ever done?
You know I've done a lot of gross things.
I mean, we came up with this segment a while ago because we just couldn't stop sharing gross things. And we were going to make it only about gross things, and that would be like the whole show. And I go, we got to add other things in, not just gross things, because I think
yeah, we'll do
people,
disgusting
it'll turn
next
people
month.
Off. Yeah, we just can share one at a time. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. It's a little, it's a lot.
We're gross.
Okay. You know this story. I think I had to go with it because I can't think of anything grosser. I know a few stories are probably going on in your mind, but I'm just going to tell you.
Okay.
I'm 11 years old. We all know this story.
I don't know.
By we, just me and you. I walked into my parents' bathroom. I came across an object. I didn't know what it was. It seemed foreign. It seemed alien-like. There was hair on it. I don't know where the hair came from. And there was a
hole in
it. There was enough hair. It looked like an 80s hairband. Got a little bit of a haircut.
No, was it like hair was like it fell on the floor at a salon, or hair like it was actually implanted in it?
Implanted hair.
Okay.
And there was a hole in it. I didn't really know exactly what it was.
Was it like a gooey thing? Like, what did it look like?
It was gooey. It was, it kind of looked like, if like, you know, when you make pottery and it falls apart.
Okay, like a smushed clay kind of pot. Okay.
Smushed soft clay. And turns out it was a pocket pussy. I didn't know if it was my dad or my mom's or the dog.
Let's stop making jokes and just tell it like it's real. Because I know this is a bit you do. So I'm trying to. I don't want you to get into bit territory. I know you haven't
done like a bit. I haven't done one joke for my act.
I know, but I'm just. I want you to not tell this as like.
But I'm telling it.
But I'm wondering.
I'm setting it up.
Okay. Okay. So it turns out you realize later on.
Okay, I fucked my dad's pocket pussy.
You realize later on in life it was a pocket pussy, but at the time you're 11, you didn't know what that was.
No, I had an idea. I had an inkling that it was a pussy. Because. I don't know. Maybe I came across one in a magazine or something at some time.
So you knew what it was. You weren't like, what's this? You knew what it was.
I kind of knew what it was. I really didn't know. I've never heard of a pocket pussy at
a time. Your penis in it.
If there's a hole, your dick's going in it.
When you're 11, really?
I mean, sure. But I couldn't fill it up. My cock really wasn't big enough yet. And I didn't come, but it was wet and it was disgusting. And that means my dad probably just used it with lotion, or maybe it was his leftover.
I mean, this is just.
Sperm.
I want to apologize.
Yeah. This isn't like the grossest thing Andrew's done. Like, the grossest thing is that Andrew is telling the story.
What do you want from me?
The grossest thing is that you didn't keep this to yourself. That's so funny.
First of all, I'm sharing with you guys, and you guys seem to be making fun of a traumatic experience.
Dude, he tells
experience.
The story on stage at like it's his closer, because it is true and it's insane, and it's so funny that he admits. This is why I love Andrew, is that he doesn't keep these things in, and like, and why should he? This is so funny. It's so funny that he was an 11-year-old kid who found his father's pocket pussy, which is a, you know, self-masturbatory tool, and he used it, and it was used, you know, like everything about it's gross. So he always closes on this joke, and the groan from the audience is how I determine whether or not I'm gonna like them, because when they go oh, like I could just tell they're very empathetic and like emotional
and listening
and listening. Yes. And so I always go out to this, like, you kind of leave a weird taste in their mouth, and it's a fun atmosphere to walk out into as a crowd. Cause I used to do the same kind of jokes where it was just like, people would go, oh, ew. Like, cause it's just a good reaction.
Yeah. I love it.
You know, it's like, it's not laughter, but it's just, you've just shocked them enough. That
I think it's laughter after the, oh, like
it
was, yeah, I feel that way. Anyhow, but can I tell you something?
Yeah.
My dad tried to gaslight me years later. He heard that I was talking about it on podcasts, and he claimed that he never had a pocket pussy. And then he said maybe it was, you know, my mom's new boyfriend or whatever. And I go, Dad, I remember like three things for sure in my life, and this is up there.
You remember
having sex with any pocket pussy, yeah, let alone your own father. So, you know.
Yeah, that sucks that he couldn't just admit it. But maybe he actually doesn't remember if he had one. But you remember if you have a pocket pussy, or if like you just and that
maybe it was his like seventh best one, like how you have 19 dildos or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. But then he would know that he had one at least, and that you could have found it. You know,
that's true. Maybe, you know, maybe he knew it was. I'm getting close to my bar mitzvah. And
or maybe it
wasn't
like your mom's hair clip or something. Like, you don't know. It had hair on it. It was wet. I don't know. It could have been like a new loofah your mom had.
That's true.
You know, like it maybe could have been, you could have misinterpreted it with your 11-year-old brain.
But okay, it had pocket pussy written on it. Yeah. What was the grossest thing you ever did?
Okay. So I know, you know, a bunch of gross things that involve feces and like, you know, just like bodily fluids and stuff. But this to me is a story that signifies how like germy I am, and like how I don't like care about that most people would just be like, how could you do that? So I was in a really bad place in my life. I was living in New York, just moved there, living in a disgusting apartment with a girl who was like really like a recluse hoarder, and the place was already dark. It was just so gross. My room was disgusting. I was bulimic. I was smoking pot all the time. I was drinking a lot. I was just gross. I was in a bad place, and I wasn't taking care of myself. And I took out my contacts one night, and I didn't even cover the little holes that you put the case. I didn't even close the case, which I still don't do that a lot of times. Like, I don't cover the case, which is gross already, but I didn't cover the case. I took out my contacts, put them in the thing. I probably put water in them because I was always out of contact solution. Just like, so just gross, not washing them. They were probably had been in my eyes for over a month. I took them out though at night. I was taking care of myself in that way. Don't sleep in your contacts. It can cause you to get tumors. It's awful. So I took them out. The next day I was taking nail polish off. And so I was using nail polish remover, and I left the cap off of that also on my desk just because I'm just sloppy and messy. Later on, I was grabbing something and I knocked over the nail polish remover, but it was on a shitty desk that I got at IKEA that I didn't care about. And so I was just like, oh, fuck, I spilled it, and I didn't care. Later on, I put in my contacts and I go about my day. I'm on the train and I'm like, everything looks like cloudy. Like, this is so weird. Like, and my eyes were kind of stinging, but that happened when you like wear your contacts too much. And I was like, this is so weird. And things sort of look cloudy. It looked like there was like a halal cart haze. You know, when like halal carts like put off a bunch of smoke.
Yeah.
It looked like that all around the city. And like I was like,
vape cloud.
It looked like September 12th, you know, like there's just like dust in the air. And I was like asking people like, and trying to smell for smoke. It was so weird. And eventually my eyes hurt so much that I took them out, but then the fog didn't go away. Cause I was like, maybe something in my contacts. I took them out. It did not go away. I was just like, I cannot see at this point. Then all of a sudden, all of like everything comes into place. And I was like, I accidentally spilled nail polish remover acetone into my contact Jesus. Lens case. And I put in contacts that have acetone in them as the lubricant to put in my eye. And I Googled, do you know how I realized this? I Googled cloudy vision and it said chemical burn. And I was like, what? I chemically burnt my eyes. My friend Tony Vinn was in town at the time visiting from LA and he was taking me out to dinner and I called him like sobbing and I was like, I'm going blind. I just blinded myself because I'm so like gross. I'm just like, all my fluids are everywhere and just like, I almost blinded myself because of how disgusting I am. So although it's not viscerally disgusting, it's just like that to me signifies and was like a real eye clouding experience for like, you need to be cleaner.
Did you go to the urgent care? Like,
no,
how did you handle it?
No, it just eventually healed. I cried and I cried and I cried. And I was like, I'm just blind. Like, it's irreversible. Like, I was just reading all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see
why
it was getting worse.
Why didn't you go to the hospital?
Because I was broke and I was drunk and I was just, and I come from a family who goes waited out. And so I never go to the hospital for things unless I'm like actually dying. I'm never preemptively taking care of myself in that way. And I just, eventually it went away. Thank God.
But, how long?
It lasted a couple days. It was terrible.
Dude, I
really thought my life was over.
Yeah.
I was like, when we were watching that movie, that the Sound of Metal.
You're like the Gorilla Glue girl.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was like that, but it was just because I was gross. And it felt like, God, this is, usually I'm like, wow, I don't get colds because I'm so gross because I'm constantly eating like.
I'm surprised shit like this doesn't happen to women more. You have to go through so many, we were talking about how many steps you have to do. Like, you're going to fuck up a step. Next thing you know, you're blind. Like,
yes.
You have to do so much shit as a woman.
And if you mix different serums together that have different, you know, chemicals, they can counteract with each other and burn your face. And like, I've gotten laser stuff done to my face that's burnt my face and caused me immense pain and suffering. I mean, it's crazy. All right. Let's get into our final thought, round out the week. God, I can't believe this week flew by.
This week has been one of the best weeks of my life. This podcast has been incredible. And just working down here, it's beautiful out here. And God, it's awesome.
Yeah, I agree with you. This has been, I am so happy to, I said at the top of the show before you came in, relief pitcher, that
callback.
I'm just like loving this show. We just, every time we get done with it, we're like, that was so fun. Even on Tuesday, when I was like so nauseous, so sick during the podcast, it's like, I still had the best time. That was such a good show.
Perfect.
So really
that's
grateful.
That's the beauty of this show too, is like our mood might be, you know, we're always going to try to be funny and everything, but you're going to get the real
day, so
real
gonna
us.
Get,
yeah.
And but this will take me out of it. And that's why I wanted to have this every day in my life because it's something I'm excited to do. So I'm really grateful to everyone who's listened and rated and reviewed. Oh. We have like 5 stars. We've been charting all over the place. Thanks to you guys. Seriously, I know that's like such a cliched thing to say, like thanks to the fans, but I've been reading your comments and your emails and your DMs and your posts on your stories. And it's just all so nice. You took the time out to write to us and say what it means to you. Like, it really means a lot. So thank you. And I want to just say, cause I talked about it yesterday on the podcast, final thought, the movie we watched the other night that I did not enjoy, but it's probably me because it's rated 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, was Molly's Game. It's an Aaron Sorkin, script, and he directed it. And I love Aaron Sorkin's work. I'm a big fan. And so I was excited about this movie.
Well, you talk like an Aaron Sorkin movie.
I do. I talk a lot. But this movie was excruciating for me to get through. I wanted to abandon it 10 minutes in, and Andrew made us watch the whole thing. And he goes, I want to see how it ends. I go, pull up the synopsis on Wikipedia. Like, why waste another hour and a half of your life when you could just find out what happens and not have to sit through all of this tedious, superfluous dialogue that I know he's famous for.
And
but,
the editing
and
was
Jessica,
like...
Jessica Chastain, what's her name?
Yeah, what movie was
her
she good in? Because she's not...
was this the whole time and talked like this. And I know that was the directing. Her voice, I couldn't take it anymore by the end of it. And she is gorgeous and such a good actress. But it just was... maybe it was meant to irritate me. And the directing was... so crazy that I literally go, and I'm not someone who's like a film, like I don't know film, but I knew this was directing was not good. It was, it would,
you know what
fit.
It felt like?
It was a script that could have been handled much better because Andrew didn't know that directing like matters. I go, this script,
I know I
go,
directing
he
matters.
Goes, I go, because you said, oh, he did The Social Network. I go, no, he did not direct. The Social Network's amazing because it's Aaron Sorkin writing it and David Fincher directing. If David Fincher would have directed Molly's Game, it would be an Oscar contender. It was such a good script. But the directing, the shots, the music, the mixing, it seemed like a first time, which he's going to get better. I mean, I'm sure Fincher's first movie was shit too, or like confusing too.
Yeah.
You don't just hit it out of the ballpark on the first try, sports.
I feel like Sorkin, how he was editing it and how he, right? It's like, you know, like when someone has done way too much cocaine and they come up to you and tell you a story about nothing.
Yeah.
And they're so, like, yes. And it just jumps from here to there. That's how his editing was like, that one scene was like 50 different shots for like a 4-minute scene about poker. Like, I guess you have to try to make poker seem
interesting
like more.
When you know it's fictional. And the whole thing that's interesting about poker or sports is that it's like nonfiction.
Fast-paced or whatever.
And it's like anything could happen, but you know that this is scripted. Yeah, it's hard to make
she
poker
had two
compelling.
Nines with seven queens,
but it's been done before, and it could have been done better. I love Aaron Sorkin again, huge fan. I think I'm just couldn't love his writing more. And I'm sure he's going to get better as a director. And this was the first attempt, and everyone like deserves to be not as great when they start. So like that's fine. I don't know if it's the first attempt, but it's his first like non-documentary directing. I think that he'd done, and it just. But reading Rotten Tomatoes, I was infuriated that no one else felt the same way I did. And I thought it was just so obvious. We were looking at each other. We were laughing so hard at how, I mean, it would have been a great Mystery Science Theater for us to watch and make fun of this movie.
But do you feel like sometimes though, like
this movie was cursed so much.
But your mind.
I said cursed like 18 times in the last 18
sometimes
minutes.
My mind, that's the only kind of movie I want is like, it doesn't even have to be good. There's a certain tone to it that's like, it's not too much. There's only like 5 or 6 characters.
I don't like a movie that talks down to me and makes me feel like people make movies sometimes for really dumb people. And I think we should challenge people. Like I was saying about the inside joke. When I say Delia's, I know that only 30% of people out there are going to get that reference. But I expect the other 70% to know that they're just not in on the joke. Not that it's a bad joke, right?
But
I feel like a lot of directors and writers don't challenge their audience to maybe, hey, that's a reference that I should maybe look into so I can understand that and appreciate this on a deeper level. Instead, they don't even make the reference. They don't even take the chance to make it more selective. They want to appeal to such a broad audience that it becomes so stupid and you are talked to like a kindergartner. And that's when I get, that's when I walk out of Horrible Bosses 15 minutes into it. That's when I walk out of Dinner with Schmucks halfway through, because it is a comedy that is written by people who are very intelligent and they are talking down to me and I don't appreciate it.
Okay, but on the same token,
yeah.
If you try to do too many analogies or whatever to something so
no, you don't
like,
have to be
specific,
over the top. I'm not asking
over
you
that.
To make it so like, you know, obtuse and
I'm just saying it could go the other way where it's like
I understand. Yeah. It definitely can, but Veep does that very well. They have specific references. You will miss half the jokes, but they make so many jokes that you don't mind missing half the jokes.
I'm with you on that,
all
sister.
Right. Final word, gotta go. Thanks so much for listening this week. We'll see you next week on the Nikki Glaser podcast. I love you all.
I love you all too.
Oh,
keep
stop.
Happy out there.